Let's give him another hand clap and thank him for the victory he won on our behalf. Amen. And he don't quit until he gets what he wants. He's a good God. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to see everyone here today. Looking forward to relieving this burden, amen, that God has given me. And no one will be preached at today. You will know that God's working on me. Amen. And he's not through what he started in my life. And I'm so thankful he keeps working on us until we become everything he said we would become. Amen. He's good. And so I want to just challenge everybody to keep this earmarked on your calendar. Amen. In 2021, it's going to be a new year, but we start every year out with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, for some people, you just heard something very weird and Christianese just then. Prayer and fasting. Because in our culture right now, very few of the generation that lives has read the Bible. And prayer and fasting is weird to them. But I tell you what's not weird to the next generation is relationship. Yeah, they're looking for relationship. By the way, they're looking for Jesus. And what we're talking about today facilitates the need to have fellowship, which is another Christianese word to the millennials and the Z. What is it? The Z group? Yeah. Amen. That word don't translate fellowship. It kind of has old on it. And let me say it this way. Jesus is okay with it being a party. He's okay with us having fun. And whatever fun equals to you, whatever that looks like to you, go ahead and elevate it. Because it's going to get better and better as you, amen, connect with him. He's reaching for us. He's setting us up so that we're able to reach back to him. Isn't that good? Because sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. We don't know how to connect with Jesus. Amen. And he knows we don't know exactly how to do it. So he sets us up to win. And it's not going to church. It's being the church. It's being his kids. It's being his family. And so 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. Let's just call it 21 days of partying with Jesus. And we get to get up early and do it. Now, that's weird, too. But I encourage you that when you start hanging out with other people of like precious faith or party goers in the morning time, you just like, man, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. And even though your body may not say, I'm not excited about that, your spirit man is saying, you need to give it a try, because there's several that's giving it a try, and they're going to be here in the next 21 days of prayer and fasting, because when they leave, the dynamics that have been set, the energy, amen, that comes from heaven that rests upon you, amen, you can't buy that. Amen, there's no amount of money that can afford you that, but he did it, and all he's asking for us to do to get a little hungry, amen, just a little bit of thirst, and he will fill us up with all of his righteousness, amen, his goodness, his love for us. 21 days of prayer, first week of January. Don't forget that, if you would. So here at New Life Fellowship, we understand that God wants to manifest through us. He wants to be king of his kingdom within us. Anybody understand the kingdom of God is within you? Everything that God has planned has already been placed in you. Now, only he can bring it out. Only he can bring it to the surface. And you know there's more to life than this world offers. Everybody agree? So he set us up so that we would go through things, not because he wants us to be beat up, because he's not doing none of that. We do that to ourselves. We make bad decisions. I made more than I want to talk about, but I have to talk about it, amen, to be able to encourage you to know that you're not alone in your challenges. The challenges are real. The Lord knows all about it. But granddad and our grandmom, they made a bad choice when they ate from the wrong tree. And we're still feeling the consequences from that. But God has given us a way out of living in that lie so we can live in the truth. And that truth, amen, when we begin to fellowship with truth, it makes us free. Anybody like freedom? I mean, we've been here in our country and our politics talk about freedom, but they don't have a clue on what freedom is apart from the truth making you free. And when you begin to know the truth, that's when you get intimate with what God is saying to your spirit. Breath. Come on now. That's the Spirit of God. It's breath. It's the wind. It's the very life that comes to us. And so we're here, amen, in play with Him in the playground. And people are looking at the playground and they, man, I'd like to play there. I'd like to be a part of that. Because when you walk with Him and when you trust Him, you become attractive. And the people that He puts in your path, the potential of them being found by God elevates. There's people where you live right now that need you to be the light, need you to be the salt, or need you to be who God says you are. Does that make it simple? So that when you allow God, amen, to manifest in your life His will, people start coming. They get found. If they ever get found by Jesus, nobody finds Jesus. Nobody. Jesus finds them. Okay? If they ever let Jesus find them, then what happens is the potential now for them being mentored begins to happen. If they start getting mentored, that means they get equipped. If they get equipped, amen, and they're able to become sons, amen, of God, true born-again believers of God, then all of a sudden they become world changers. Everywhere they go, they become the light. They become the salt. And God's talking to you and I here today because in God's sweet spot, we've been talking about sweet spot. Anybody like being in your sweet spot, right? Man, I want to be in my sweet spot. Man, it's just ebb and flow. It's just, man, things are happening. It's moving and shaking. Yeah. But God wants to be in His sweet spot. And the only way God can be in His sweet spot is you. He limits Himself to His impact in this world through us. So making the right decision and becoming God's house, His platform, His weapon, or His vessel of love, amen, we become His instrument. He's able now to do what He's always wanted to do, but He can't do it without us. Is everybody tracking with me now? Because in the next little while, God knows how to communicate, doesn't He? He can tell a story like nobody else can. You don't get it. It's absurd. It's like, what did He just say? The question is, are you going to ask Him what He said? God's talking. But sometimes it looks weird and it sounds weird to us. And it looks so weird, we won't even ask about it. Right? But unless, come on, there's three things that's important. Three things that has to happen to me in order for Him to be able to have His sweet spot in my life. Three things. And the first thing is, I need to be hungry. I need to be thirsty. That's the first thing. In Matthew 5, unless you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're not going to be filled. But if you do, he says you will be filled. And what He's talking about filling us with is rivers of living water that come out of us. Hunger. And the Lord knows how to stir up hunger. And so Jesus came teaching in parables. Now, if you're a teacher, would you choose to use parables to teach your students? No. No. No, you wouldn't. Because in our world, we like literalism. We want it black or white. Come on. I'm going to be taking a test. Give me black or white so I can answer this thing and get 100, hopefully. You know, sometimes I was okay with a 68 if that was passing. Anybody tracking with me? But Jesus teaches in parables to avoid literalism because he don't talk in literal terms. It's not black or white. No, he teaches in parables because he's looking for the group. What group is he looking for? The ones that I ask. Amen. You got a group when he's talking in parables, when this group says, man, he's really into farming. And then they leave. And then you got the other group that says, man, I wonder what he means about what he said just then. And they go, okay, I don't get it. So they leave. But then there's this little group of people that say, I'm going to go up there and ask him, what do you mean by this? And that's the group he's looking for, is the group that I ask. Seek and knock. What does that mean? That means they will abide. So you're never going to figure his parables out totally. You can't, because it's bigger than you and me. But you can know him. You can have fellowship, or you can be connected with, or you can play in daddy's playground, and you can stay close to him and get on his knee and let him talk to you about what's going on, and he'll keep giving you, as you trust him, more understanding about how powerful you are and how that he's been waiting on you to, at your level of growth, is he's okay with it, man. He'll change your diapers. He'll burp you. Hey, man, he'll wash you, and he'll put powder on your butt. At that stage of growth, but when you're growing, he's going to stop putting powder on your rear end. He's going to expect you to trust him and follow him and do some things like he does it and become who he says you are, because he's got a great big plan he's not going to do without you. Is this helping somebody? And so he'll avoid literalism. He will not talk in black or white. He will give you even visions and dreams that make you think you need to go see a psychiatrist. But he's stirring up hunger. Can you imagine? Get this. Can you imagine instructing, amen, your son or your daughter to go clean their room? And you said, look, in the next hour I'm coming to your room and I'm going to check to make sure your room has been cleaned up. And so you instruct them to go clean their room. You gave them good instruction. That sounds like black or white, don't it? You didn't give them a prayer. You just black or white. And so you, an hour later, you come into the room, and they're sitting at their desk or on their bed, and they haven't cleaned their room, but they've wrote down everything you said, and they're memorizing it. Yeah. They're musing over everything you said. And you say, what are you doing? Oh, I've got so excited about what you told me, I wrote it down. And I've been meditating on it. And I've been musing over it. And I'm so excited to tell you what you told me. Dwayne, now be careful now. Most people here today will take what God says and you'll write it down. And you'll repeat it to God and maybe repeat it to somebody else. Remember this, God's not making me do anything or you do anything. He don't make people do anything. He's so good, he's given us the option to choose life or death. Obedience is way better than sacrifice. Man, I sacrificed cleaning the room, Dad, because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss a word you said. I sacrificed getting sweaty and vacuuming the floor because I wanted to make sure I could repeat back to you exactly what you told me. I'm so excited. In Christianity, across the board, we'll be satisfied with being able to memorize the scripture and quote it back to God and never do it in our world. And I must encourage you, because I used to believe in Christian literalism. It's black or white. It's highway. It's God's way or the highway. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But that's not how we become like Him. That's not how we enjoy the best that God has to offer. Amen. That's not how we allow Him to step into His sweet spot, which is His temple. Me being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, your best days are before you, isn't it? Because right now we're talking about not only you being in your sweet spot, which is an awesome thing, and we got a revelation of what the sweet spot looks like. God wants to be in His sweet spot. But it starts with hunger first. Starts with hunger. Okay, you're going to get this. Got to get this. Please don't miss this. This is so important. The disciples are needing some money. Anybody need money? And they need some money because they want to be able to go take care of some things that are important, like feed the poor and whatever. And the Lord says, oh, you need some money. Oh, okay. You see that bird right there? Yeah. That bird is unemployed. That bird sings, tweets, poops, whatever. The Lord loves that bird. That bird don't worry for anything. But here's the most important part. He loves you more. That help you? No, that didn't help me. What kind of financial instruction is that? What are you talking about? I need some money. Is anybody think like that? So they're thinking, man, we laid our nets down. We've left what we've been doing and we're following Him. We need to dress right. So we need some clothes. And they tell him, oh, you wanting clothes? Okay, I thought, okay, you need money. Okay, you see that flower right there? Yeah. Solomon never looked that good. He said, but the cool thing is, He loves you more. Is that helping you? No, it's not helping. I want some money. I want some clothes. He said, I tell you what. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. And they're looking at him like, okay, what's the kingdom? You see that field over there? Is anybody tracking yet? Hunger. And so they begin to realize, oh, He wants us to hang out with Him. You see, to be effective in my identity, asking Him, then, amen, moving from asking to actually receiving Him becomes valid. But I can't ask if I don't know what to ask for. So He knows how to stir the hunger. I'm talking to somebody right now. He knows how to stir us up into a place where we begin to realize, I've had enough of this world. I've had enough of this facade. I've had enough of getting up, going to work, coming home, fixing supper, going to bed, getting up, going to work, coming home, and the same routine, and we keep getting the same thing back for what we're doing. I'm looking for something better. I'm looking for life. My marriage needs life. My relationships needs life. Amen. All the people I work with in the kingdom need life. So He stirs us up with hunger, and He challenges us, amen, to trust Him, to stir that hunger up in us in new ways. I made reference to a time when, in the creative team meeting, when, if you go see a movie, all movies will speak to you, amen, in literalisms. And so whether you're a guy or a lady, you know, guys get spoken to if it's Gladiator or if it's Braveheart. That's really who I am. Down deep, that's who I am, honey. I take that handkerchief. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ladies, I want the chick flick stuff. I'm trying to still figure that out. The romantic side. Romance is me dying for my baby. She says something else is romance to her. And so, but we watch movies, and every one of them speak to us. They call out something to us. Amen. And they minister to us in a unique way. I mean, maybe not the God way sometimes, but they speak to us. And they draw out a hunger for us to be who we're designed to be. You watch the right movie, and the real you wants to come up. The real you, on behalf of whatever that energy and dynamic is, wants to stand up. Yeah. And look, I cry more than my wife does when I see the right movie. I'll just boo-hoo. And she's looking at me like, and you're my husband? Honey, I'll die for you. The second thing that's important, amen, for us to let God into his sweet spot is we need to hear. Hunger sets you up to hear. And I know that me and my wife being here, I had to hear what the Spirit was saying in my spirit for me to ever yield to what God wanted me to yield to, because without being hungry and without hearing, I wasn't going to step into my role. And so I find this interesting that we've all been spiritually bound with something at one point in our life. And some of us more spiritually bound than we want to talk about. But Israel was in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. Jesus, amen, a type of Jesus in Moses, goes and sets them free, a deliverer. God using a man. And Israel is set free from their bondage to come out and to worship, or to connect with God and to be God's people in the earth. So God does something. He offers Israel the opportunity to come up and hear his voice. But they wouldn't do it because they were afraid of the voice of God. They weren't hungry enough. And let me tell you something. When you get hungry enough, your ears will tune in for station identification. Oh, yeah. You may not know what he's saying, but when you get hungry enough, you will know he's speaking. You may not can figure out why he's asking you to trust him to go make this step in life, but it really don't matter. There's something that comes with hearing that changes your life. When you hear, there's an experience that comes with it. If you say you hear from heaven and you don't have an experience with what you're hearing, you didn't hear from heaven. You can't hear from heaven and not experience God. Y'all got to catch this. Let me give you some illustrations. Their experience of the voice of God, they feared him. And they tell, this is what Israel tells Moses. You go up, Moses, and you hear, and you come and tell us what he said. Now, I'm not okay with anyone here that's okay with me telling you what God said. I'm not okay with anybody that does that. If I'm not confirming what he's already been speaking to you this week, I failed you from my lens. Because if I'm making you think that you can come hear from God because I'm standing up here and I'm telling you what God's doing in my life and that's your voice from heaven, I'm not doing our Father a justice. You have been picked from heaven, and God has given all of us the ability to hear what he's saying, everyone in this room, everybody in this earth. He's looking for people that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And those that have an ear to hear, they experience something that's wow. And this is so important part of the message that if you catch this, because you're going to begin to recognize, oh my God, that was God talking, oh my Lord, and I couldn't figure out what he was saying, so I pushed it off as being, I need to go see a psychiatrist. You pushed it off as being, I ate too much pizza the night before. You just pushed it away. Two men are walking on their way to Emmaus, and they're talking about the events that's happened. And it's really kind of like our political world right now. Everything's messed up, whacked out. Brother against brother. I mean, people wishing people were dead. Our world's in bad shape right now, but God's okay with that because the darker it gets, the brighter he becomes. That's his sweet spot, is you, to be the light of the world. So they're on their way, and Jesus made sure they didn't recognize him. He just came out of the grave. And they're talking about the events that's going on, and he joins with them in what they're talking about. And he asks them, what are y'all talking about? And he joins and just walks with them. He follows them all the way to Emmaus, talking to them about Moses and the prophets. And he sits down with them because they constrained him. Look, I love this. They got hungry. I mean, them guys were hungry. He knew they were hungry. And they constrained him to come sit down with them and eat. And while he sat in there, he didn't partake. When he broke the bread and he blessed it, he disappears. And they looked at one another and said this, did not our hearts burn within us as he spake? This is going to help somebody. When Jesus is talking, something happens in your inner being. To everybody. Oh, that's for a select few. No, it's for everybody. When Jesus speaks, you have been wired to sense the, And it's okay if you don't understand what he's saying. That's not important that you understand. The enemy's convinced many professed believers it's important that you understand what he said. And the enemy is body slamming precious people over the fact that it's not literal in what God's saying. I don't literally understand what he said. And if I can't understand it, I can't do it. Okay, you just let the enemy body slam you. You just let the enemy take your blessing. You just let the enemy take your experience from heaven that's reserved for you to come up and talk with God. No, y'all got to catch this. Look, when the Lord spoke to me and my wife to come to San Antonio, I had to deal with something. I didn't understand it. Oh, I can get to San Antonio. I can get a job. I'm confident. Oh, we'll be fine. But the Lord tells me while I'm driving, working, he says, you're not going to work a secular job. You're going to go do my work for me, and I'm going to take care of you. Well, I couldn't. That don't compute. I'm thinking, man, that's the devil talking. Because I kind of enjoy working anyway. I have fun working. I get to meet people. It's like, dude, you lying spirit. But it wasn't. I knew enough about the voice of God. I knew I was coming to San Antonio. Me and my wife had already agreed. And that same voice that was ministering to me come and said, you're not going to work a secular job. You're going to do my work, and I'm going to take care of you. And I knew it was him speaking because a burning happened when he spoke it. And I had to pull over on the side of the road. Not once, because I kept going back to him, Sean, saying, okay, would you explain that a little bit more to me? And he said, well, I'm glad you asked. He didn't say it like that, but I could just see him say, well, I'm glad you asked. Because you asked, you don't understand this, and you keep asking me to explain a little bit more, guess what? And that burn, ooh, it come again. I have to pull over again. And I'm just weeping in the van. I'm weeping, and out of me is coming prophetic utterances, amen, out of my spirit that only God could speak out of me. Yeah. I'm hearing. And with that hearing comes experience. You can't hear without experience. It ain't happening, y'all. When you hear the voice of God, there's going to be a river that springs up inside of you, and it's going to come out of you like, amen, rushing water and wind. And so I said this to someone else, that spirit-filled believer, and he said, he laughs because that don't sound correct. It sounded like something God can do, but dude, you got three kids, you're married, you're going to be working. I hear what you're saying. You do know I'm not lazy. No, I know you're not lazy, but hey, come on, man. You're going to have to work. Well, I want to, but I don't want to be disobedient. And I'd go back and ask again. I need you to explain a little bit more. Okay, here it comes again, that burning. And all of a sudden, here it happens again, and I'm getting this knowing now. Woo. I don't care how you do it. You just keep doing that, and I'm good. Right? You keep doing that. I don't have to explain it. I want to stay right here under the spout where the glory pours out. Because the world can't give me this. Money can't give me this. Houses and land can't give me this. I like this. And you seem to be taking care of me and my wife okay right now, so whatever. And y'all, when my wife and I were pulling out on January the 1st of 1992, man, people was giving us, we got like $2,500 on our way out. I mean, just people giving us money. The Lord told me to give you this and just handing us money. A man that my wife and I didn't know we knew of called me the night before and said, "Come, would you come to my office before you leave? I heard you're leaving." He said, "Man," he said, "I just had this desire to help you." He's a businessman. He said, and he handed me an envelope, and in that envelope, when I opened it up, was $500. He gave $500 every month for the next 10 years. No. God's already, he's confirming something. When I tell you, you're going to do my work, and I'm going to take care of you, you're going to do my work. And keep in mind, I'm not really having a problem with it too much. I just want to make sure she's not having a problem with it. And I'm telling the Lord this. When I go ask him, I'm saying, okay, he said, "I'll take care of her. You trust me." Okay. He got me. Hook, line, and sinker. He's got me. We get here. We set up in a very humble place in a mobile home park. And that was fine with me and my wife because we were together and we had our kids. And I don't have a job. Got $2,500. Got a $500 check. But that's what's amazing about God. The next Monday morning, I go out to get in my vehicle, and there's an envelope sitting on the seat. And in a Toyota, if everybody knows, you can't get anything in the windows of a Toyota. The doors are locked. There's this envelope. And we have never met this family to this day. And they said, "We don't go to church anywhere, but we do return God's tithe, and we're returning it." I'm trying to find out who they are. I'm trying to find them. I can't find them. But the check goes through. I can't explain that stuff. Every Monday morning on the seat, I tried my best to get that through the window. And the Lord's saying, "You need some more evidence, son?" Well, I'll take any more you want to give. Because I'm meeting him at our little place where me and him meet daily. And so, I mean, we just get here, y'all. This is important for you to catch, because when you get that burning, you can trust it. You're going to see Daddy flex his muscles. You're going to see Daddy walk through walls. You're going to see things happen that can't happen unless it's dead. And I'm telling you, there's no way that can get on the front seat of my car unless they had keys made. And I don't know who made them for him. And was leaving it there every Monday morning. Every Monday morning. A truck backs up to our little mobile home. We just got there, y'all. And fills up our cupboards with everything she would go to the store and buy. Fills it up. And the young man that brought them backed the truck up and said, "Look, there was," I said, "What are you doing?" "This man down the street gave me a list of things and told me to go buy it and take it to this place and give it to y'all. So could you point that man out?" 90-year-old man sitting on his front porch, Mr. Black. He said, man, yeah. I went up there, knocked on the door, said, Mom, I introduced myself. And he didn't know who it was because we hadn't met. But obviously he knew where the mobile home was. And so, yeah, he said, I was rocking in my chair on my front porch. And when you drove by, the Lord spoke to me and said, write all this down on a list and go get it for them. Next 2 weeks, guess what? Truck backs up to the house. Fills our covers up again. Do you reckon the Lord is getting his point through to me? That when he says something, and I can't drive while he's talking, I have to pull over. It's not a, I got you, Lord. Yeah, we've got our own thing going. Now, I can't handle it. The experience is beyond this idea of religious. This experience is from heaven, and God is speaking, and I can't handle it because it's burning inside of me, and it's coming up out of me. And prophetic utterances are coming out. Declarations are happening. Hunger is important. But hearing, if you're ever going to hear, there has first got to be a hunger. Enough's enough. I'm not going to church another day of my life. I'm going to be the church. And God is a spirit. He's not a man. God is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not literalism. Well, the Bible says it, I believe it, and it's so. He ain't interested in that group. Pastor, be careful. No, I'm not being careful at all. I'm going to put the enemy under our feet. He's not interested in the kind of faith that thinks it can figure him out. Faith will never figure God out. And there's no such thing as ever been a human being that's ever comprehended God. When God speaks, the relationship with what he speaks begins to grow into understanding. And then more understanding. And this thing is an eternal relationship. He does not speak in literalism. He's wanting us to come go with him and follow him. And when you're asking, when you're seeking, and when you're knocking, you're abiding in him. I can't make it without him. Every step is ordered by the Lord. Dwayne is not smart enough to decide which step to take without God ordering it. And God orders it through hunger, hearing. And thirdly, this is the third thing, if you're going to let him be in your sweet spot, receiving. Receive. Every one of us are called out of darkness into marvelous light. And we're designed from heaven, by heaven, to receive from God. Amen. I didn't hardly read any scriptures today, but the Lord is speaking right now. I'm pushing all those scriptures aside because he's talking right now to us. Amen. We need to receive. And when you begin to look at what God has for us, not in the future, but right now, you can read it in Revelation chapter 2. God has for you and I, it says it right there, fruit from the tree of life. He gives us, amen, the power to not be harmed by the second death. This is God's plan for everybody. Not tomorrow, but right now. That we get some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. Come on, that's hearing the voice of God, ladies and gentlemen. He is the bread that came down from heaven. Not only that, Jesus gives every one of us a white stone, amen, with a new name in it. Well, who is the stone that the builders rejected? He's the stone that the builders rejected. Everything that I spoke of is in when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He's telling them, this is how I want you to address me. Because with this address, this is everything you get. Not tomorrow, but today. Does anybody want this today? Amen. Paul is speaking to a king. Amen. His name is Agrippa. And Agrippa is so moved by what Paul is telling him that his knees begin to smoke. He is so impacted by the message of Paul that he is shaken by what he's hearing. But he didn't yield. Agrippa says to Paul, "Paul, at a more convenient season, I will call for you." We don't have any record where he ever called for Paul again. And the temptation in our world is when the presence of God is thick and when it's real, whew, man, yeah. But, you know, I'm in situations, got circumstances going on, got some stuff happening around. It's really not a convenient time, Lord. Anybody ever said that before? I have. I don't want to have to admit this, but there's been times when the presence of God, something that I thought was more important, that was pulling me away, and the lie was real. I didn't know I was believing the lie. And I didn't know I was rejecting him to go take care of something that seemed to be important, more important than his presence. This is good for every one of us here today. Jesus knows when you're hungry and when you're thirsty. He's already ordered the day, and he's got you on his schedule. He don't miss anybody. He is into you big time. Let me tell you how into you is. It's like, you know, God's so righteous, he can only help so many people, and there's only so many people that might be good enough for him to help. Does that sound right? I know we know it's not right, but in our religious world, that message is out there. There's just some people God can't help. If you ever get them to repent and get filled with the Spirit, knock them in the head, go ahead and bury them so you're doing God a favor. No, the enemy will tell those kind of lies. Hear me. This is important for all of us. There was this woman that didn't have any relationships that were solid. She was called the woman at the well. And her reputation was not good. So much so that she went out by herself. And some of the things I read in relation to her, amen, is that she's beat up. And she's tired, and her life has now put her in a position to where that's all she knows. But the Lord knows she's hungry. He knows it. And remember this, when God talks, he talks in a way that's just absurd. Yeah, he talks in absurdities, so to speak, because we can't figure it out, so that he can challenge our conformity that we're pulled into in our world, our cultural conformities push God out. And this, her culture had an impact on her. And so when Jesus comes to the well, he knew he was already there when she shows up because he was waiting on her, just like he's waiting on all us. He knows the path we're going to take before we take it. And he is not running from no. Matter of fact, did you know you don't have to invite God to go anywhere? He's already there. Lord, we invite your presence in this room today. He's already there. He don't need an invitation from anybody. You can make your bed in the worst situation, the worst kind of hell on earth, and he's going to be right there because he is so into you. And so she's living out her hell on earth. And when he sees her, he's rude. He just tells her, "Give me some water." Now, you go get an updated language, it was rude. And it's like you going to HEB and you see a lady that's covered, so to speak, from Middle Eastern country, and you say, "Look, get me some water and I'll be up here waiting for you so I can buy it." Yeah, right. She's going to go tell her husband and it's going to be over for you. Because he's going to go get all of his cousins and brothers, and it's down. You're going down. You messed with him. You don't do that. But Jesus isn't doing that necessarily to be rude. He's doing that because she knows she's hungry. And so he challenges her, and she gets honest. Oh, here you are, a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We've got teams now. And she just goes off. What do you think? Asking me for water. And I mean, she unloads, and she's getting honest and telling the truth about all the lies she believes. And when she gets it all out, then he says, well, let me tell you some more. And then he says this. He says, if you knew who I was, you would tell me to give you water. And I would. Water that you would never thirst again. And her whole world shifts. He said, you missed the point. Our world has an impact on us, don't it? Did you know that you were designed by God to serve? Isn't it interesting that we don't want to have to serve nobody? That person in the mirror don't want to have to be made to serve nobody. And yet, our design was to tend to God's garden, his business, his kingdom, to be stewards. And he says to this lady, if you knew who I was, I'm the gift of God, you would tell me, and I would gladly give you water. Water that you'd never thirst again. And God's talking to some of us right now. Because he can't be in his sweet spot until we finally agree with who we really are. She had been beat up, mistreated, abused, taken advantage of. She goes and she tells everybody to come see a man that told her everything. Because when he spoke to her, something happened. She ain't going to go tell everybody. Saying no way she can go to every one of those people that abused her, misused her, that looked down on her. She ain't going to none of them. She's ticked off at them. They can all go to the bad place. Everybody getting this? But when she heard him speak to her, come on, she experienced the words he's speaking on a level that it burned in her. And all of a sudden, her being taken advantage of and her not being on the same page with everybody didn't matter no more. When you experience him speaking to you, you're going to love everybody around you. If you say you hear the voice of God and you got somebody you don't like, it ain't that you don't like them, it's that you don't like you. The idea that you can love somebody but I don't have to like them, you just confess you don't like you. You got a problem with you. Because God is into them. And if he's going to be in his sweet spot, you can't tell him, okay, I got to love him because you say so, but I don't have to like him. He can't use you. He ain't in his sweet spot like that. We can know him. We can know him. We can know him in the fellowship of his suffering. And be okay with it because we're playing in Daddy's playground. So I want to ask you the question as I close with this thought. What is it that God's trying to serve you right now that you won't receive from him? Because you could ask him and he'd give it to you. You want a healthier marriage? You want to be healthier in your body? You want your relationships to be healed? You want to be out of debt? What is it that God's trying to do for you right now that you won't receive from him? And he wants to be in his sweet spot. And if you'll let him be in his sweet spot, he'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll just let him be in his sweet spot. Can I use you, is he saying? Will you let me have my house back? I own it already. I purchased it. It's mine, but will you let me have it? And he stands at the door, and he knocks. If anyone will open, he will come in, and he will sup with them. And he will serve you everything you need so that he's able now to go serve others and receive his glory.